Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Got one there, and that's lined down the right field line. If he kept it fair, it's gone. It's off the pole, a home run. Swing and a fly ball, that's hammered to center. Back goes Marte to the wall. He won't get it. Back-to-back homers. That ball's hammered toward left center. Back goes Marte to the wall. He goes up.
It's a big jack for B-Mac.
And Ozzie Albies is up. He's going to drive one. This is unbelievable. Four homers in the inning.
It was unbelievable. A second inning barrage. Chip Carey on Fox Sports Southeast. As the Braves, for the first time in Atlanta Braves history, hit back-to-back home runs in the same inning and four total home runs, all solo blasts in that second inning barrage.
It was hot. I think it's because it's hot. Why the ball is flying the way it's flying.
Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of ways to get involved in the show. You can always jump into, of course, our Twitter at 92.9 The Game. You can text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. And, of course, phone lines always open during our show, 404-741-0929. Braves hit five home runs, accounts for all their runs, two by Brian McCann last night, a solo and a three-run jack by him. And the Braves beat the Pirates to win their fifth game in a row, Hugh, and they suddenly have turned the corner, and they seem to be like they're getting a little bit hot right now, just at the right time.
That's what it feels like, staying pace with the Phillies right now because the Phillies won last night and being in a good spot. Being in a good spot, you know, we got a couple weeks to go before the All-Star game. You know, All-Star voting is starting to ramp up. So this is where I think this is the time of the season where you want to start trying to have more of an identity for the Atlanta Braves. Still, I would think as a fan, still haven't figured that out yet. I would think that you would say the strength of this team right now has probably been their offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it looks like. It has been that for the last couple of weeks. So now you have to start to try to separate yourself because it's a tight race in the NL. National League, it's a real, real tight race.
Yeah, it is. Behind the Dodgers, it is. I mean, right now you have three teams that are tied for the second-best record in the National League. And one of those three is the Atlanta Braves, who are tied with the Philadelphia Phillies for the second-best record in the league at 38-29. Big weekend series at SunTrust Park that's coming up. Yeah, and so we'll, you know, certainly see. Hugh, the Braves have said Kevin Gausman has gone to the injured list, 10-day injured list.
Plantar fasciitis.
And he will be on the 10-day list. And in his spot was taken by A.J. Minter, who they recalled from AAA, and A.J. Minter rejoins the team. I'll give A.J. Minter, I'll give him a little bit of room here, Hugh, but not much. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think that's how they're probably looking at it, John. I mean, it's one of those things where we've seen enough of A.J. Minter to know that, you know, we want to see more. It's been kind of rough for him. To have Sean Newcomb make that spot start, it's basically saying that, okay, we're waiting on Dallas. We don't want to rush Dallas back. We're going to give Dallas his time that he needs to get prepared to come up. And, you know, we're going to respect the 10-day rule. Because, honestly, when I saw that Gausman was going back down, that's the first thing that I thought. As a matter of fact, I premature tweeted it, was thinking that was going to be the move that was going to be made. Because Alex Anthopoulos alluded to something like that yesterday. Say if somebody goes on IL, then there's an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the case. So they're giving him the time that he needs to get prepared to come up and be ready for the season to start. So that's why Sean is going to get their spot start because of the success that he's had coming out of the bullpen.
And so you'll get Sean Newcomb on Saturday against the Philadelphia Phillies in a spot start. Dallas Keuchel that same night will pitch for the Mississippi Braves, and then he will be up and eligible by June 21st when the Braves are in New York and they'll have a chance to pitch for his first game at that point. The Braves winning five in a row, and the bats are booming, and that's a good thing, Hugh, but I'm a little concerned about the fact that it's all home runs right now for the Atlanta Braves. I'm not upset about the fact they hit five home runs back-to-back games, 10 home runs in two games, but I guess I want to make sure that we don't just fall in love with sitting back and waiting for that three-run bomb.
And see, John, this is where I would say this is where you worry a little bit too much because they're winning. They're in a good spot right now, and I think this is the ebb and flow of the season. You know, they've been winning games and they have been hitting big bombs. I think that this is just a time where it's starting to get warm down here. The humidity and everything is probably making the ball fly. And it's a good thing. Chicks dig the long ball. I would say at this point, you're being a little bit too nitpicky there, partner. I mean, because, you know, it's all – like, this team is never going to be at any one time everything that we want them to be. There's always going to be some flaws and some errors, no matter how you look at it. But as long as they're winning and they're staying pace, that's all that I'm concerned with right now.
Right, it is interesting, though. You mentioned it, I think, I don't know, about a week or two ago. You said before last season, the success this team had last season, and you were right, by the way, the biggest question was, outside of Freddie, who's going to hit any home runs? Well, suddenly, this has turned into a team that hits a lot of home runs.
No, not and before that, John, it was like, where's the power going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's the power in this lineup? That was a big concern for everybody. And this is how I watch baseball. I know that for a lot of people, it's an emotional roller coaster ride that you're on every day when it comes to this. I look at it more so in pockets. And I tend not to get overly excited about what's happening on a game-to-game basis. I look at a little bit bigger body of work. And I know, you know, sometimes for what we do, you know, talking on radio, that does not fit well. But I'm sorry. That's just the way that I watch baseball. And for them to bounce back the way that they have so far in this Pirates series and the roller coaster that they or the momentum that they've been riding right now, that's a good thing for them going into this series against the Phillies, because that is your direct competition to ultimately win the division. That's your direct competition. And the better you're playing going into the weekend, to me, it's you have a better chance of having a better showing when you go out there.
From the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, the Braves are fun, exciting, flashy, and fresh, but they won't make the playoffs if they have to score 7 runs a game to win. No, that's going to be the case. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs if they have to score 7 runs a game to win, which is why you made the move for Dallas Keuchel. And by the way, they're not going to be the only move they make you. I mean, there's another move coming.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there's some more things that they want to do, but it's going to be predicated on what teams fall out of contention and if the moves make sense for them. I think that's the biggest thing right now. What teams are falling out of it? Because the name they keep hearing is Bumgarner. Haven't heard in the last couple of weeks, but his name's been kind of ramped up a little bit. So there's going to be some opportunities there for teams that are going to fall by the wayside where you're going to get a chance to pluck some of their pitching, mm-hmm. if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, and Marcus Stroman in Toronto's another name. Zach Greinke. They're going to be. I think the Yankees are already talking about Mad Bum and how they can get Bumgarner in New York, which, if you think about it, is almost a waste for him to go to the American League, because you may know that Madison Bumgarner, best hitting pitcher in baseball, probably by a long margin at the moment, is one of the things he does. I mean, he's so good the Giants use him as a pinch hitter. He's such a good hitter. He goes to the American League. That's all that the Yankees could do. I guess you could hit him, but why would you if he's starting? I mean, you would use a DH, and I guess you could use him as a spot pinch hitter, but that's all he'd see when it comes to the plate. And we'd lose Madison Bumgarner coming up and hitting home runs. But nonetheless, the Yankees are talking about making a run at Mad Bum. So we'll see if you want to get into that bidding war. As we talk about the Braves this morning with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game, as they get tied for first place still with the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies will play Arizona again today. Braves play the Pirates tonight. We'll see if tomorrow morning the Braves are alone in first place ahead of this series. And one of the things that's good, Hugh, is that the Braves have stayed in the moment. They haven't looked ahead to what's going this weekend.
As you shouldn't. And just enjoy what you're doing right now. But it's looming. You know, as a player, you got to think, John, that, you know, going in the locker room and seeing the standings on the big board, that you're right there. You're not overlooking the Pirates, but every night that you go out there, you have a little bit more added incentive to go out there and beat the brakes off of them, knowing that you're going to get a huge test this weekend against the Phillies. And then remembering what they did to you at the beginning of the season and knowing how the talk and the conversation was about you at the beginning of the season. First 3 games of the season, and they, like, people have already written you off. If I'm a player in that locker room, that is something that motivates me. Even though, you know, I love the fans, but at the same time, you look around out there in the crowd and you say, hey, these are some of the same people that wrote us off and thought that we were done. So now you get a chance to go redeem yourself against the team that basically started that false chatter about you at the beginning of the season. You go get a chance to redeem yourself.
And the Pirates, of course, you know, Chris Archer was serving up gopher balls, and then he settled in and counted on that slider and almost got him back in the game. But the Braves managed to,
Oh, yeah, he got rocked in the beginning. I was surprised they left him out there as long as they did. because he was serving up like meatballs.
Well, Abe, the producer, was at the game, and you were saying you were sitting there.
He went to go get a bobblehead. He got the bobblehead. You didn't get a bobblehead?
You didn't get a bobblehead?
Abe, the producer, shaking his head, no. He got there too late to get a bobblehead, John. That
was
out of
here like at 11 o'clock. I mean, you know.
He had to walk. Probably had to walk the dog and do trivia.
A lot of traffic and your dad dives. Oh, so you're going to blame it on dad. He couldn't have dropped you off and you could have walked up through the battery and then he could go park and there wasn't a way around this, you know. You could have taken an Uber and then met dad at the game. If you really wanted that bobblehead, you could have made it happen.
From what I've been told, the producer told me, he wasn't even close to getting a bobblehead. Maybe we know some people, hey. Maybe we can make it happen for you. Because I heard that was a hot commodity. Watching the broadcast last night, that was a pretty hot commodity.
Mm-hmm.
The Swamberson, it's pretty hot.
How many were there? Do you know? I mean,
not enough.
15,000?
Not enough for Abe to get one. Not enough for Abe to get one.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Braves getting ready for the Pirates again tonight. And the angst about this team that I've had all year was because I never bought into this. Oh well, you know you're going to have to just accept this team for being,
them as they are.
Yeah, for being a team that exceeded expectations last year. And I kept saying early part of the year, do I have to accept the fact that maybe last year is this year, and this year is last year, where you know you're a 500 club? Maybe I do, but I kept looking, going, boy, you know, it seems to me this is before Austin Riley, you know, showed up at the scene and kind of changed the dynamic of the year, and which is what happened and really what he did, is that you said this was a better team on paper than the one last year, and I didn't quite understand why there were so many struggles, except for the fact that. Now, they didn't address the bullpen in the offseason, and that was a concern. And now that they've managed to piecework this together so that it doesn't quite kill you so much, look, there's no reason this team can't win the East. There's no reason you don't go out and do everything you can. This team is capable of winning the East, and frankly, I think if they get hot, they're capable. We know Washington. Look, Washington is done for, okay? I mean, I know that they had that one little hot spurt, but I think that was probably about it. The Mets are sort of hanging around. Marlins are long, long gone. They were gone before the season began. So it's really down to you and the Phillies. I just look at it as a two-team race, and that's why I think you make a statement this weekend, and you say to them, okay, you're going to have to chase us again. Because if you make them chase you again, Gabe Kapler will make a mistake.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the first game. I mean, that was kind of like easy for him, because we've seen him make some real questionable moves in the past. And so I think in the first game, you know, you got the new shiny toys. Everybody's there. It's in Philly. Everybody's excited. That was an easy game to manage, you would think. But coming down here, and now that the dynamic of this team has changed, I think it'll be a little bit tougher. I mean, I think they've learned a lot, and they've changed a lot since that first meeting with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Hey, by the way, Abe, you may have just gotten bailed out on the Diamond text line. Did you see that? Apparently, according to the text line, we have to confirm this. Apparently, the Stripers are going to do the Swamberson bobblehead on the 6th of July. Now, if your dad drives a little faster and you leave a little earlier, maybe you can get to Cool Ray and get it then, okay? Just saying. You're out of town. Listen to you.
We'll see if we can get you one, man. We'll see if we can make some phone calls. I know a few people, not a whole lot, but I know a few people up there that maybe, you know, we can make something happen for you.
Johnny in Tallapoosa on the text line says, Fricky's like, oh, no, the Braves are hitting 5 home runs every game. We're doomed. Trade everybody. No. I'm just saying, look, you can't hit 5 home runs every game. I don't want us to become a boom or bust team with all the guys. You could have as many as 7 guys, at least 6 that I can think of, maybe even 7, who hit 20 or more home runs this year. You may have 4 or 5 guys hit 30 or more. And so I don't want this team to become so reliant that they forget, you know, that, you know, station to station, they've got speed on this team. You know, use it. Be aggressive on the base pass. Hey, Acuna kind of ignited things a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, with that one running play he had. I mean, these guys, I just want them to be aggressive and that way.
I honestly don't think at the core they've forgotten who they are, John. I think that this is the ebb and flow of baseball. This is the point where you are right now, where the ball is flying. The ball is flying out of the park. You're making great contact. Hitting the ball hard. Chris Archer got hit hard a lot early. Like, there was a lot. Like, it was cracking the bat a lot early. So, I mean, you take advantage of that. And it just seemed like there were so many home runs being hit in that, what, the first and second inning, that it was hard to celebrate the one that was hit previously, because it was like they were coming so fast. It seemed like they were coming so fast. So, you just enjoy it for what it is, because it's not going to always be like that. Baseball games on a night-to-night basis aren't going to always be as exciting as that one was last night.
Headlines this morning include, we find out about Atlanta United's delayed U.S. Open Cup game in Charleston at noon today when they announce what they're going to do after being rained out last night. And, of course, the Braves and Pirates tonight in the third game of this four-game set. And the other big news, the second day of three-day Falcons mini camp in Flowery Branch. And when we get back in a moment, Dan Quinn, the head coach, talking about who stood out in day one. And a couple of the names that he said stood out kind of grabbed my attention. We'll talk a little bit about what kind of impact those two guys could have on this team this season, because I think one of them might have – I just have high hopes that one of them – actually, one of them in particular might have a really big impact on this club this season as a rookie in his first year. That's all ahead. Morning show, John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Very excited for him. He represents everything, a Falcons player, the toughness that he's demonstrated time and again. He has certainly earned that space in the ring, and I know for guys like Matt and who had such close, and Michael had such close relationships with him, they made a big impact on their careers. And I think anytime as a player you impact the success of another, that defines leadership. This is one guy, he is one tough competitor, and definitely earning of the spot in the ring.
Yeah, that was head coach Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons talking about Roddy White becoming the 11th member of the Falcons Ring of Honor. He'll be inducted to the Ring of Honor ahead of the game at home at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday, December the 8th. If you want to pencil that in, that'll be the first wide receiver to go into the Ring of Honor as Roddy White gets what is long due for him in the Falcons Ring of Honor. Hugh joining William Andrews, Steve Bartkowski, Tommy Nobis, Jesse Tuggle, Jeff Van Noe, Mike Ken, Claude Humphrey, Dion, and Gerald Riggs, and Warwick Dunn in the
great
Ring of Honor.
Great group. Great group. Get that. I guess the jackets are red. You get like a when you go in the Ring of Honor, you get the red jacket. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a great honor for Roddy White, and that'll be again Sunday, December the 8th, ahead of the home game against Carolina against the Panthers, and Roddy White will be inducted into that Ring of Honor. That'd be a great, great day. Hopefully it'll be punctuated by a big win against Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Falcons are going through a minicamp, mandatory minicamp. Everybody showed up. We're all accounted for, president accounted for, and that's a good thing. Now, some guys aren't working out. Julio Jones is not working out. Deion Jones not working out. Des Trufant. Actually, Des isn't there. Des has a personal reason, so I'll stand corrected on that. Austin Hooper not working out for little various reasons, but no issues for the Falcons really at all. And so a chance to get a really good look at Dan Quinn yesterday speaking about who stood out in the first day of minicamp.
A couple of the players I thought stood out from the defensive line side. I thought Sinat and Kaminsky were two that stood out. I was excited to see Benkert get a good bit of work. Allison was another one that I saw get a good bit of work at running back. You know, up front, we mixed a number of the guys, offensive line, Jamon, James, McGarry, all of those got a good bit of work. Those were the few that jumped out right off the bat.
All right, of all those names here, and we can get into some of them in a moment, the one that really intrigues me the most is Quadri Allison. I think, Hugh, that Quadri Allison's impact on this team could be large this season, given that this team struggled so mightily in red zone, struggled so mightily in third and one. And this is based on, you know, having a healthy Devontae Freeman. It was so good to see Devontae out there yesterday, you know, and looking like Devontae Freeman. Just even running around in shorts, it was so good to see 24 out there.
Just being excited about being back out there on the field, you know, being able to contribute. Being hurt, man, sucks, especially when you know you're a super competitive guy like Devontae is. And to not to be able to play and not to be able to help your team out, to just be out there running around again, getting ready for the football season, that has to be an exciting time for him.
Yeah, Allison is a guy that I'm really intrigued by. I mean, you know, once they drafted him, I went back. I had seen him play at Pittsburgh, but he had never been a focal point of mine. And I went back and really looked at his tape, and I was struck by a couple of things. One is he's a pretty darn good blocker, and we know what we've had in the past with that kind of an issue. Number two is, unlike Tevin Coleman, who is a edge guy, you know, get to the edge, put your foot in the ground, and then and go that way. Allison's more of a run you over kind of guy. He's a, you know, a break a tackle kind of guy in the middle of the. And if he does get free, you, he's got some hops to him. He can actually motor. He looks like, you know, a poor man's version, and I say that only because he's a rookie, of Jerome Bettis in the way he runs.
Yeah. Haven't had a chance to see him run too much, but 6'1", 232 pounds, obviously a bigger back than Devontae. But it's all going to be predicated on how well that offensive line blocks, John. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had some pretty good backs back there in the past. DeMarco was one of the guys that you let get out of here. That was a pretty good fullback for you. But when you look at Dirk Cotter being here, the fact that you've upgraded that offensive line, the fact that you brought Allison in, you're looking to me like you're going to put a lot more emphasis on the running game. And Devontae Freeman is going to be that icing on the cake. Like, Kwadri looks like he's going to probably be more of a batting ram type running back. And Devontae is going to be more of that icing on the cake. And I can tell you like this, watching Devontae run over the past few years, he's a guy that has made his bread and butter by making that first man miss. And it's unfortunate that most of the time he's making that first man miss while they're in the backfield. Most of the times you want to make that first man miss while you're getting positive yards, but he's been able to do that over the last few years. So now hopefully with this offensive line being a lot better, having Kwadri out there potentially at some point being his lead blocker in certain plays, that he's going to be able to get those positive yards and be a much better running back than he has been in the past.
You heard Dan Quinn talk about the offensive line, about Brown and about Lindstrom and about McGarry and about Carpenter. And so now I think you look at that battle that's going to take place, because the only two positions that you know are for sure locked down, of course, are center and left tackle with Alex Mack and Jake Matthews. It's pretty much a consensus opinion that Jamon Brown's going to win the left guard spot. And so you're looking at right guard, right tackle, and of that group, you're looking at Chris Lindstrom, you're looking at McGarry, you're looking at Ty Sambrello. And so whatever we want to have happen is you want that group to settle in during the preseason game, so that by the time you get to Minnesota, you've got your starting five and that offensive line is set. Because all the assets that you put into it, three big contracts to veterans in Sambrello, Carpenter, and Brown, two first-round picks in McGarry and Lindstrom, five guys to fill in those offensive line holes, you've got to have that settle out, because if that settles out, then everything is predicated on that offensive line for the success of this team. This
always
season.
Starts in the trenches, John. I mean, it starts and ends with the guys up front. And you've made a lot of changes to the guys up front. You've brought in some guys that are going to compete. And regardless of what you have back there running the ball, if those guys up front, those big uglies up front, aren't doing their job, makes it tough sledding for the guys that are trying to tote the rock. It really, really does.
You have so many different angles on this mini camp to kind of focus on. If you go, you sit there and think, okay, you know, what do I want to look at here? Because there are a lot of things. One of the things that was kind of front and center early on yesterday was the return game. And right in front of us, Kenyon Barner, who's one of the guys, you know, Kenyon Barner, you star at Oregon, star running back and return guy, and of course famous in Atlanta Falcons lore for returning a kick that Matt Bosher laid him out on.
Put them Thunder cookies on him. put that thiyal on him.
It was back there to field a punt yesterday, just a simple, you know, punting drill, and missed it, bobbled it a little bit, and when he missed it, everybody on that return team had to hit the deck and take a whole bunch of push-ups. And Kenyon yelled out. He was not too happy about that. And all the rest of those guys were not too happy about that either, because they were doing push-ups. Now, we don't want to do no more push-ups. Catch the ball, Kenyon. But it'll be interesting to see what's going to happen with that return game with Justin Harney and Barner and Green. We've had so many guys go through here over the last 5 years, Hugh.
Mm-hmm.
So many guys go through.
You
just
want that
one.
You want that to be the positive. You want that to be – you want a guy back there like – closest to Devin Hester as you could possibly get him. That's what you want. You want somebody that's going to be back there and be the positive, that's going to get you some positive yards, that's going to put this high-powered offense in great field position, even though it really doesn't matter because they can score wherever they want to score it. But you want a return game that's going to put them in great field position, so it makes them that much easier.
Yeah, because we talk a lot about, you know, the special teams and the impact that the special teams can have on this. And there's two big questions about this special teams. You know you're good at punter because Bosher's just that kind of guy. You know, can we get the kind of production at place kicker that we got? I mean, the thing about Matt Bryant, say what you like, is that Matt Bryant was money.
Yeah, he was. And he was also that guy that you relied on, probably if you ask certain people, too heavily, because your offense, with all that money that they spent, should have been scoring a lot more points. So it's one of those things where you look at it and you're thinking, we're not kicking for three. Hopefully we're not kicking for three a whole lot. Hopefully we're kicking for that extra point.
By the time you got to the other team's 38-yard line, you would say as an offense, okay, we got 3 points here. Oh, just don't mess it up, because that's who he was. three is getting ready to warm up. 3 points is getting ready to warm up on the sidelines. If you can get to that kind of faith with Giorgio, because, yeah, look, Giorgio Tavecchio looked pretty darn good. I'm not going to lie. I mean, he looked pretty darn good. And he just has a big shoe, a big boot to fill.
He's cheaper.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Oh, yeah, I know. Cheaper. He's cheaper, yeah. He's cheaper. He got a big boot to fill with Matt Bryant in terms of, argue as to who the best kicker in Falcons history is when you're talking about a Hall of Famer like Morton or Matt Bryant. I mean, they're both great. And that's what Giorgio has to do. So that's one big question. Can Giorgio Tavecchio deliver for you in clutch time when you need him to win a game, especially in the playoffs, or to lock down a playoff spot? Can he make that field goal? We don't know that yet until he actually does it, and hopefully he does. And we all go, oh, whew, okay, good. Because we know that, for example, we saw last year that the L.A. Rams do in Zuerlein because he made those two gigantic field goals, and we're pretty sure that New Orleans does with Will Lutz, the former Georgia State star. There are teams that sometimes put emphasis on things like kickers and others
that
don't.
Cody Parkey. And your man Cody Parkey, who missed one, and they ran him up by the – they ran him up by the Chicago. I just remember that fan, and I know it went viral, that dude that was talking about him leaving stadium, and he was like, Cody Parkey! And he was using a whole bunch of cuss words. Cody Parkey! Yeah, it was pretty bad. So, but I still feel like this, man. You never miss a kicker until you absolutely need one.
Until you don't have one,
well,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Until you need one. And this is going to be, probably one of those seasons where Vecchio's not, it's not going to be a big deal until it becomes a big deal. And I know we're talking about, Matt Bryant not being here, and that's a big deal because he's been so clutch. But if you go through this season, John, and you're blowing folks out, and DeVecchio is making the field goals that he needs to make, this is going to be a non-issue. That's the thing. I think going into this season, the offense looking at like, hey, listen, man, we're not kicking for a whole bunch of threes. We're trying to kick extra points. That's it. We're trying to kick extra points. We're putting a bunch of points on the board. So it's not going to be one of those situations where you're just kicking for three just to give him the work as opposed to trying to win the game. I think that's how they're kind of looking at it.
All right, we're going to do something fun and different here in a moment.
What are we about to do?
We're going to give away passes to the Hawks VIP members draft party, which is draft night coming up in 8 days. That's my brother's birthday today. Of course, it's June 12th. 8 days from now, of course, the NBA draft a week from Thursday. State Farm Arena is going to be a big draft party, and we're going to give away VIP passes to the party, VIP member passes to the party in our next segment. Now, this is going to work a little bit differently than it has in the past because what we're going to do is Abe, the producer, worked this up, Hugh, and in the next segment, Abe's going to come in. He's going to read a clue, and you have to guess who the famous father is. And if the first person doesn't get it right, we're going to go to clue number 2.
Oh, yeah, because it's Father's Day this weekend.
Right, Father's Day is Sunday.
The most underrated holiday of the year that nobody really talks about.
So if you want to take a crack at this, 404-741-0929, Abe's going to come in. We're going to name a famous father from television or movies. Abe's going to give a clue to the first person. If he gets it, then everybody else, you're just out of luck. If he misses it, though, clue number 2. And by clue number 3, everybody will know who it is. All right? So we'll do that next with Father's Day looming on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90. John, the game on this Wednesday. Little overcast. Please don't rain. Please don't rain. Please don't rain. I need my grass desperately needs to be cut. It's one of the things I do because, dads do these kind of things. And speaking of that, Dad's Day is coming up. Father's Day is Sunday.
Yeah, nobody cares. Let's just call it what it is. It, like, we're the unsung hero.
All right.
Nobody cares about pops until they need money.
We care a little bit here.
Who cares?
Well, you and I.
I mean, no, we care about it because we're dads, John. But the kids don't care about us like that. What did you get for Father's Day last year? All right, then. My point taken. What'd your wife get for Mother's Day? She probably got like lavish with a whole bunch of stuff. Nobody like the sacrifices that pops make. We don't get the same kind of love. It's cool.
Uh-huh.
I'm not complaining.
Right.
I mean, I know it kind of sounds like I am because I'm on the radio, but I'm just keeping it 100.
All right. So
nobody cares about Father's Day.
We do care about Father's
Day
right here.
We get tools and picture frames.
Okay. Well, for the next three. Well, for the next
am
three
I lying?
No.
All right, then.
The next 3 days, you're going to get this, though. You're going to get a chance to win VIP member passes to the Hawks draft party next week from Thursday on draft night at State Farm Arena.
That makes it a little better.
Okay. And so Abe, the producer, came up with this. Now, Abe, we've got people waiting on the line, and we're going to go in the order that you put them on the screen here. So just be understand that, for example, Danielle McDonough is going to be first up. Now, explain how this is going to work, okay?
All right, so I'm going to be giving out three clues, but one at a time. So Daniel is only going to get the first clue, and he can take a guess from there on the famous TV father or famous movie father.
All right, so it's one person we're looking for.
One person, a famous father, either from movies or from TVs. Daniel will get clue one. If he gets it wrong, the next caller will get both clue one and clue two.
All right.
If he doesn't get it, the last caller or whoever many it takes will get all three clues.
All right, so that's...
And they are in increasing order of... It should
get
be
a little
obvious.
Bit easier. So, Daniel gets penalized a little bit because he's first, right?
Shouldn't have called so fast. Should have
heard
the rules.
Should have waited, okay?
Heard the rules. Right.
But this is let's do this and see what we got. So again, a chance to win a pair of Hawks VIP draft party members draft party Hawks VIP members draft party tickets for the draft party.
Spit
at
State it
Farmery.
Out.
I know. It's morning. Amazing, I know. Yeah. Daniel is in McDonough is on with us. Hey, Daniel, how you doing?
Oh, great.
All right, so Daniel, you got all this. We're going to give you one clue. It's a famous TV or movie dad. All right.
Okay.
Stand by for the clue. Abe, go.
All right, Daniel. This famous TV or movie father works at a nuclear power plant.
Ooh. Oh, I can't guess?
No.
Okay. Let me.
John Amos from.
Are you going with John Stamos from Full House?
Yes.
John Stamos from Full House is not correct.
All right, so that's clue number one. Now,
and also, please try and give us the character, not the actor that played said role. We want character names. We're going to get specific here.
We're looking for a character. So now the next caller has the advantage. Kind of the next clue. Caller. Yeah.
That was a big clue.
Neil and Flowery Branch.
Neil!
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
Right, Neil, so, that was a big clue. That was a big clue,
can,
Neil.
Can you answer it on just that one clue, Neil?
Oh, man.
All right, we'll give you a second clue here, okay? So the first clue again was...
All right, Neil, first clue. This famous TV or movie father works at a nuclear power plant.
Okay.
And your additional clue. This famous TV or movie father dislikes his antagonist neighbor, Ned.
Oh, Homer Simpson.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, took a two. See, there you go.
Wait a minute, where did we get that sounder from?
I don't know, Jay. He just so kind of, hey, Neil, congratulations. You're going to go to aggressive. The Hawks VIP members draft party at State Farm Arena a week from Thursday.
So aggressive.
Yeah, baby, let's go.
Are you a father, Neil?
I am. I got three little ones.
Oh, so maybe
so you ain't none for Father's Day.
But maybe you could take, you know, you could take that or something, or I guess Father's Day, you could take whoever you want. It's your present.
Yeah. Hey, man, that's awesome.
Congratulations, Neil.
All right, Neil, hold on.
Yeah, hang on.
Let us put you on hold. We'll grab some info from you and get you those tickets. Just for the record, the final clue was this famous TV or movie father enjoys drinking Duff beer at Moe's Tavern.
That would have definitely gave
it. So if you don't get it after one or two, you obviously should have gotten it after the third one. We'll have two more, another one on Thursday and another one on Friday. They will not be Homer Simpson. We'll have... new characters and new clues. So stick around. We got some good stuff the rest of the week.
All right, so this is Abe's thing. Thanks, Abe. Abe, the producer
good
here.
Good job, Abe.
And Neil and Flowery Branch gets two tickets to the Hawks VIP members draft party. See, we got something for Father's Day.
No, what we get? What'd you get for Father's Day last year, John?
Well, I know what Neil and Flowery Branch got
year. But see, listen, Neil gets a little bit of a pass because his kids are itty-bitty, mm-hmm. and they probably gave him great gifts that they really put a lot of thought into because they're
young. Or mom bought them for him. And,
oh, well, yeah. No, like, they might have made him something.
Oh,
but think about it, though, John. When you get older, I mean, it's dad's the unsung hero. I get that. But kids don't put that much thought into what they get you. You get Mike a little funky tie, some socks or something like that. You don't really get a great gift as dad. Your gift as dad is the fact that they ask you for money and spend time with you every now and then, like they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it is. Mom's the one that cries about Mother's Day and the fact that, you know, she birthed you and was labor for 24 hours and all this stuff. So, you know, they kind of guilt the kids into getting them great gifts. I'm not hating at all. I'm just pointing out the facts. And sometimes there has to be a guy that just, you know, says it is what it is because most guys can't.
Yeah, I guess for Father's Day, all I ever wanted was a phone call. Really?
You don't even get that. You don't even get that. Like, this is the thing with dads. It's not so much that we want gifts. We just want to be acknowledged for some of the things that we do that we, you know, as a father, we really don't have to do. You know, like teach you how to drive. And, you know, just want to spend some time with you. But, yeah, it's one of those things. Now I'm feeling some kind of way.
Apparently you are.
Yeah, my son is it
not going well with
he kind of dissed. Like you know when your son, you know how it is, pops, dads, when your son's getting a little bit older, you get to the point where you kind of cherish the time that you spend with them because you know that after a while they're not going to want to spend that much time with you. So my son last night, so we're supposed to hang out. He's supposed to come hang out with me. We're going to, you know, go to the gym today or whatever. But he's supposed to come spend the night last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be there at 8 o'clock.
Right.
This cat called me at 7:30. Hey, Dad, can I just come tomorrow because I'm moving a little slow and I'm tired? I'm like, hold up. Why is it when I get my time, I have to be the understanding parent and be like, oh, really? Really? That's how we doing it this morning? All I'm saying is, I'm feeling some kind of way
because
he didn't want to hang out with me last night. It wasn't like I was going to do a whole lot. We was going to watch the Braves game, but it's just a simple fact. Hell, it's Father's Day weekend, and my weekend was supposed to start last night. Forget you, Jahi. Don't worry. See, Jahi has a little itty-bitty. Wait till you're going to know my pain when your son gets older and he does you the same way. I cannot wait till my son has children, and when he does, and when they don't do something that he wants, like he's looking forward to do, even if it ain't nothing.
Oh, yeah, no. Grandchildren
then it's
are
payback. Like, yeah.
Grandchildren
like,
yeah. are, yeah, I can't, I'm not a grandfather yet.
In your face, son.
Grandchildren are payback.
When you feel some kind of way about the way you handled your old man, but it's cool.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're payback. Cool. You're like, oh, okay, now you understand. Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's why I'm just going to make him pay in the gym today.
You know, it's like until they have kids, they go, oh, I didn't realize what you did. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, now you do. We are rolling into the 9 o'clock hour on the morning show with John and Hugh as the Braves get ready. Some of the headlines for Game 3 against the Pirates. Some of the headlines coming up in just a minute plus. Those headlines include, believe it or not, opening lines for college football. And the Georgia Bulldogs have been made a favorite against Vanderbilt. How big a favorite? We'll tell you next how big an underdog is Georgia Tech against Clemson. That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.